Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, reading from the 13th chapter and the 11th verse. First Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. Let's stand together for the reading of God's word. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Dear Father, we come to you in prayer again this night, asking you to help us to put away some things that may be an impediment in our lives, and to change some things that maybe need to be changed. We believe in a service just like this. You can come and do some things in our hearts and lives that will make a difference forever. We ask you to do it now, in thy precious name. Amen. Several years ago, a rather new field of psychological development was explored and given the name psycho-cybernetics. The basic concept involved in this study was that it is possible to change your life by changing the image you have of yourself. Dr. Maxwell Maltz, a plastic surgeon, had discovered in his practice of surgery that many times when he altered the physical appearance of a person, within 21 days there was also a dramatic alteration of their personality. People who had been rather ugly in appearance, when modified by the skill of the surgeon, became beautiful or handsome, whereas before they may have had an ugly personality or a shy, retiring, defeating personality. After 21 days or more, they began to change and have a beautiful personality to match their new appearance. But just as he was certain that that was absolutely true, he was also aware of the fact that in some of his patients, even though he made them beautiful or handsome through his skill, in some of the cases involved, nothing happened to their personality. Even though they were physically altered, there was no improvement. And he began to make a study of it, and finally came to the conclusion that whatever the external appearance may be, if that individual did not have a proper image of themselves from the inside out, changing their physical appearance wouldn't help them very much. Further experimentation revealed that people who began to think in powerful terms, thinking positive benefits toward themselves, envisioning themselves being winners instead of losers, somehow an alteration began to happen throughout their psychological structure until, in fact, they began behaving differently and found themselves on the winning side of life. Changing your life by changing the image you have of yourself. A new image, the potential for a new life. But I suggest to you tonight, this is not really a new concept. For the Bible tells us that man was made in God's image. Now, how can we improve on that image of ourselves? The right image for all who are in Christ is that we are the sons of God. And from time to time, we need to catch a new glimpse of who we are and where we're going and whether or not we're still living and acting as sons of God. We need to revive the proper image of ourselves, and we do not need psycho-cybernetics to do it. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon our hearts and lives and remind us of just who we are and to whom we belong. We are the sons of God. The next time you're about to be depressed or discouraged or to feel defeated and that everything is wrong instead of right, remind yourself that you are a son of God. You have the right, you have the authority to call upon all the resources of heaven to come to your aid and to bring you through any given situation. This is, in effect, what happened here last Sunday morning and in many of our services in these weeks. Some had forgotten they belonged to God and they came to the altar to restore broken fellowship and renew old covenants and make new covenants, and hearts were made right with God. It was a time of spiritual crisis and growth. And spiritual growth helps us maintain the proper image of ourselves. When we have the right conception of who we are spiritually, it will help us in every other area of our lives. The Apostle Paul spoke a great deal about growth in his writings. And though I believe in using all the aids of psychology and all the aids of surgery and all the help we can get from whatever source, I'm trying to tell you tonight that God has a plan for all of his children who from day to day grow in grace and thereby affect every avenue of your life until all of your tomorrows are better than your todays. But if you want it to be that way, you'll have to be a growing Christian. And a growing Christian is one who has an easier time of keeping the right image of themselves. Yes, Paul speaks a lot about growing in his writings, but perhaps never more succinctly than in these words of the text we have read tonight. Let me read it again. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Paul had a proper image of himself. His image did not perceive for him that he was any longer a child. He was a man, and he was to act like a man. And Paul knew that much of the trouble in the church at Corinth was caused by childish behavior. And he knew that growth was the answer to their problems. Now let me underscore at this point. It has been my observation. There has been very little growth in grace in the lives of individuals until they have been sanctified wholly. If you want to grow spiritually, if you want to be able to have a healthy, positive image of who you are and what God has done for you and what he can do for you and what he will do for you, then, my friend, you need to be sanctified wholly and to be filled with all the fullness of God. When that happens, then you can go on to day by day grow and grow and grow in the grace of God. But Paul had some things to say. He said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. Well, how does a child think? Dr. Les Parrott has said, a child thinks of me, I, myself. That's how a child thinks. A mother has instinctive love. She responds to situations with instinctive love. But a child responds to various situations from instinctive needs. When our first child came to our house, it was my distinct impression she only thought of herself. We lived in a one-bedroom apartment. She shared that bedroom with us. She never asked us if we were ready to get up, when she was ready to get up. She never asked for any special permission in order that she might fill the refrigerator full of her bottles, to make it very difficult for us to get much of anything else in our little refrigerator. We shared a dresser with her. She never made any apology for the fact that she had more clothes than we did. When I would hold her, she would drool on me, get lint on me, pull my glasses off. And I may be wrong, but I cannot remember her ever apologizing for any of this. Why? Well, the answer is rather simple. It's because a baby only has the mental power to think of himself. No regard for others at all. It's normal in a baby, but disgusting in an adult. It's cute at 5 months, but unbearable at 50 years. Paul said, Corinthians, you have some growing to do. You need to quit thinking as a child. You need to refuse to allow your life to be a self-centered life where all you think about is yourself. and what's good for you. You need to put away childish things and begin to think in a mature way that says, what's good for everybody else? Paul said, not only did I think as a child, but I spoke as a child as well. Well, how does a child speak? Well, if you've worked much with children, you're aware of the fact that sometimes they speak rather viciously. Sometimes they are small and petty and selfish and highly critical of each other. Let me give you a little example of what I mean. Perhaps you have read Dr. James Dobson's newest book entitled Hide or Seek. And among the tremendous information that he includes in this book, a book that I think everyone should read, was something that spoke to me about this area we're talking about right now. It's a note found by the mother of a fourth grader. She found it in her little girl's desk, and she gave it to Dr. Dobson. It's an example of the sometimes vicious way children talk. The note is written to Awful Janet. You're the stinkinest girl in the world. I hope you die. But of course, I suppose that's impossible. I've got some ideas. One, play in the road. Two, cut your throat. Three, drink poison. Four, get drunk. Five, knife yourself. Please do some of this, you ugly girl. We all hate you. I'm praying, oh, please, Lord, let Janet die. We're in need of fresh air. Did you hear me, Lord? Because if you didn't, we'll all die. See, Janet, we're not all bad. From Wanda Jackson. Well, we can understand that, I guess, in children. They haven't matured. That's the way the words come out sometimes. Is it right? No, of course not. How'd you like to be Awful Janet and get a note like that? Some of these events are so traumatic, children never get over it. What kind of an image do you suppose Awful Janet has of herself? Bad as that note is, I've heard adults write worse ones. Oh, they didn't use unsophisticated phrases like Wanda Jackson used. But I've heard some adults who could make Wanda Jackson look like the writer of nursery rhymes. Paul said, not only did I think as a child, I spoke as a child as well. You know, part of growing up is learning to live successfully with others. But some children never grow out of this phase. Have you ever analyzed why people talk about others? Why they criticize others? Even without reason. Someone has said we criticize others because we feel inferior to them. We try to cut them down to our size so we feel safe around them, assured of the fact that we're just as big as they are. I'll never forget a man who was a big man in stature. And I'd always thought a big man in spirit. Until one day, I heard him being so critical of another that he actually shrunk in my eyes. To me, he'll probably never look like a big man again. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child, but he also said, I understood as a child. Now, how does a child understand? By reason? Oh, no, not altogether. Basically, by conditioning. You remember studying of Pavlov and his conditioned response. He was the fellow, you know, that had a dog and a bell. And he did this experiment that every time he fed the dog, he rang a bell. The dog would come and would eat. Finally, to see if he had this dog properly conditioned, he rang the bell but did not give the dog any food. Even though the dog didn't receive any food, he salivated as though he were going to have food because he had been conditioned by this conditioning process. Dr. Carl Misseldine, in his book, Your Inner Child of the Past, says that what you are as an adult is strictly conditioned by the responses you learned as a child. He goes so far as to say a study of a child's parents will provide him with enough background to predict how their offsprings will react in almost any given set of circumstances. He says you have throughout your life an inner being that controls your behavior, and this inner being is a composite of all you learned as a child. He said there are no really new reactions after the age of 13, just a combination of past reactions. Children understand to a great degree by conditioning. I've proven it in our own home. There are some times when the discussion needs to be over. There are some times when all the questions have been sufficiently answered, and still the harangue goes on. There are some times when someone has been requested to do something, to start doing something, or stop doing something, and they have been given more than generous invitations to do so. And yet the action is not accomplished. It is at that point that we no longer rely upon reasoning, but move into a phase of conditioned response. It is a simple procedure, one that I just inadvertently stumbled onto some years ago. It simply consists of saying one, two, and if we get to three, there is what we would have to determine a serious altercation that results in weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's no further discussion, no reasoning. All that's over. It's a time for action. And normally, the conditioned response works. The argument stops. The harangue stops. The action is accomplished rather expeditiously. Paul said, I understood as a child. We expect children to understand not by logic, but by conditioning. On the other hand, we expect adults to understand through reason. But as I thought of Paul's words, I wondered, do we sometimes partake of the church's fellowship in a conditioned manner, just out of habit or routine? Do our young people profess what they profess from conditioning? They've heard it over and over and over and over again to the point where they do not really see the need of thinking it through for themselves or understanding it through for themselves. But just by the simple process of a conditioned response, they act the way they're supposed to act and do what they were supposed to do. Is our response to God born from years of habit? Whether we're young or whether we're old? Or is it a new, vital, vibrant, rich, fresh fellowship with Christ? God, you know, created us for fellowship. The original sin of Adam and Eve was broken fellowship. And the Old Testament is the story of God trying to restore fellowship with his people. The New Testament is the account of God's supreme effort through Christ to restore fellowship with man. So that our response to God need not be the lifeless, conditioned response of a child, but the mature understanding of an empowered adult. Paul said, I did all these things as a child, not as a man. He said, when I became a man, I put away childish speech, childish thoughts, and childish understanding. How? Oh, surely not in his own strength, but in the strength of God's love. You say tonight, Pastor, really, if the truth were known, I'd like to change the image that I have of myself tonight. For I do not have a successful spiritual image. I've been somewhat childish and immature in various ways. I say to you, God has a provision for that desire when he promised he would make us new creatures, sons of God. Dr. Misseldine said we are controlled by our inner child of the past. I wish it were that simple. But beyond any control that there may be over us by all the things that have happened to us in the past that have affected our minds and our emotional structure, the problem is a deeper problem even than that. For the Word of God tells us at the core of our problem is the carnal nature, the body of death. But I'm so glad to be able to tell you tonight there is help even for that inner nature. For Paul said over in Ephesians, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Perhaps tonight you desire to put away all childish things. Perhaps you want Jesus to strengthen the inner being of your life. Perhaps you want to receive the right image of yourself as being created in God's image. Whatever your need tonight, my good news for you is this: God's love and power is adequate to supply it. God's power is adequate tonight for you to no longer be tortured as a little child with childish speaking and childish acting and childish understanding. The problem of so many this night is they need to grow up spiritually and get a hold of God and learn to stand on their own two feet spiritually and learn how to help others instead of always be worrying about themselves. God says, I'm here tonight to help you do just that. I'm here tonight to help you. If you want to put away childish things, I'm here to help you with my precious Holy Spirit to help you to grow up and to gain the image that you need to have, the image that the Word tells us. We are the sons of God. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Will you stand with me tonight? I'd like us to sing that little chorus, Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? If there are those here tonight that are really serious about this situation, if you're tired of living the way you've been living, You may be 15 years old, you may be 50 years old. But the Holy Spirit has pointed to your heart tonight and said, you've got a problem there, don't you? Oh, it may be none of these things we've referred to specifically. But whatever your need is tonight, if the Holy Spirit has spoken to you and said, look, that's you, friend. You need help. The whole church could move up the road spiritually tonight. This great congregation could move on up the road spiritually tonight. You as an individual could start the best days of your life tonight if you'd let God meet your need. I don't know what your need is. You may be fighting a sin problem. There may be unconfessed sin in your heart and life. Before you can do anything else, you've got to get right with God. Give him your sins and let him forgive you and cleanse you. But I believe there are a number of other people tonight. Though they may have been saved, they've been fighting an up and down battle. Much of the battle due to the fact that they've never really grown adequately spiritually. You can't grow adequately until you've been sanctified wholly. Maybe tonight would be a good night for that to happen in your life. There may be others here tonight who have been defeated over any number of things. Tonight could be a night of victory for you. You don't have to live a defeated life. You can change your image right here tonight. Become aware of the fact that you're a child of God. You can leave this house of worship with that new image vibrant in your mind tonight. You don't have to put yourself down or let the devil put you down ever again. You're a child of God. You're a winner, not a loser. I don't know what your need is tonight. We're not going to tarry long. This is a service for people who mean business, who want something and believe that God can supply their need. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We're going to sing this little chorus after we have prayed a word. We're going to ask you to come. Dear Lord, we believe that you are the God who meets needs. You are more anxious to supply our needs than we are to have them supplied. That seems rather amazing to us, but your word assures us that's true. We believe it. So come to us now in the closing moments of this service, we pray. And if there's anyone here with a need tonight that the Holy Spirit has spoken to them about, we pray that they'll come to the place of prayer and have that need met and supplied through your gracious hand. We pray in thy precious name. Amen. Come as we say.
Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray.
Sing it again. If you want to come, please do it now.
Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet.
Father, the service is rapidly coming to a close, and we are grateful for these who have responded to the invitation tonight. We believe they mean business, and we ask you to help them, give them what they need. It could be there are some others, as this service comes to a close, who need to be here too. There is room. There's room for all who need to pray. May we be honest, man enough, woman enough, that if the Spirit has spoken, that we'll be obedient and respond. It could make a difference, not only in our lives, but the life of the church. Speak to us, Lord. We want to obey. In thy name we pray. We're going to sing the chorus one more time, and I believe that will be all we sing tonight. Others are coming now. Why don't you join them as we bring this service to a close?